Hey, welcome to Politico Tech. Today's Tuesday, February 27th. I'm Stephen Overly. At least two lawmakers in the European Parliament have found spyware on their phones. This is a major breach, especially because both members, Nathalie Loiseau and Elena Yontcheva, sit on the Defense Subcommittee. And it shows serious cybersecurity risks as the EU prepares for elections in June. So today, I'm talking to my Politico colleague, Antoinetta Russi, who broke this story in a rather unusual way about the reckoning it's causing in Brussels. Antoinetta, welcome to Politico Tech.
Thank you.
The chair of the Defense Subcommittee of the European Parliament had her phone hacked. Others have as well. Walk me through the last week. How did all of this come to light?
My editor and I thought it would be interesting to actually go and see how the Parliament checks MEPs' phones for spyware and how successful it is, and just out of curiosity how it works. So I have approached an MEP who agreed to go and get her phone checked because she was curious as well. As she said, she'd had some weird instances where actually she told me one time she had heard a conversation that she just had with someone in her phone being replayed again. She heard her own voice. And
wow.
So she found this quite strange. So she had curiosity to go and get her phone checked. And so we went on this absolutely random day when both of us were free. And later on that afternoon, she called me and she said, it's infected and I've been targeted. And that was, you know, complete chance and coincidence. And then the next day, this email was sent out to all of the members of the Security and Defense Committee on which she sits. And at that point, it said that a member of parliament and a staff member have been targeted by spyware. So please, can everyone get their phones checked that sits on the committee? And initially, her and I thought that this was about Yontcheva in this case. We thought that this must be about her. And later on that day, did I find out, actually, no, it was about Nathalie Loiseau, who is the chair of the Security and Defense Committee. And she had actually asked for this email to be sent out after Pegasus was found on her phone. So it all was a coincidence, but it also shows how widespread the spyware is. The first person you choose to go and get their phone checked has traces of spyware on their phone.
It's incredible to me that you were there from the very beginning of this, kind of by chance. I mean, what was your initial reaction when the report came back and it was like, yep, this is spyware?
I mean, shocked.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Because, you know, you don't go for a routine check and expect someone to tell you that actually they have traces of spyware on their phone. Now, given this MEP in particular, she was previously an investigative journalist in Bulgaria.
Oh, interesting.
So perhaps her profile isn't, let's say, the quote-unquote average profile. Maybe she's someone more likely to get targeted, but still, chances of actually getting a hit from the first time you decide to check out this program. It was a big surprise, actually. And, you know, that just confirms my other reporting, which is spyware is so widespread in Europe now, and it will be a big feature of the European elections for sure. Unfortunately, I think that's what more and more officials are realizing.
What kind of software are we talking about? What was found, and how widespread is this as of now?
So what I know is that Nathalie Loiseau and the unnamed staff member of the European Parliament were targeted with Pegasus. Pegasus is probably the most famous of the spyware because it's been used against very famous people, including former Saudi journalist Jamal Khashoggi's wife. And its company, NSO Group, has been blacklisted by the US. It's basically had the highest profile, and it has links to the former Israeli defense officials. What we know, if it is Pegasus, is that there are certain countries that have it. Now, So far, digital rights groups have said Russia does not have Pegasus.
Interesting.
Mexico, the Mexican government has purchased Pegasus. So certain countries have become synonymous with the fact that they own Pegasus. Last year, the NSO group's chief counsel was on the European Parliament committee that I mentioned, giving a statement, and he admitted that 14 EU governments had purchased Pegasus from them. So we know that at least 14 EU governments have it.
Interesting.
If Elena Yontcheva, the Bulgarian MEP, if it turns out that she was also targeted by Pegasus, then we have a little bit of a trend, right? Because then you have three officials from the Security and Defense Committee that have all been targeted with the same spyware. So you can begin to create perhaps the analysis that this is a committee widespread attack.
You mentioned these countries that are known to have access to Pegasus. Do we know yet who is behind this particular spyware and whether it is one of these countries or another country?
No. So again, because so many governments have purchased Pegasus now, and, you know, some experts also believe that non-state actors have purchased it. NSO Group contends that it only sells to governments and not all governments. Let's say it has a sort of a human rights policy.
Right.
That is to be debated. We cannot say, though, which country would use it. Again, you have to form... These things aren't airtight, right? You form a theory.
And you were mentioning earlier that kind of an analysis was done on the devices. Do we know whether hackers actually got access to sensitive information or other materials?
So if the hack was successful, which in the case of Nathalie Loiseau and the unnamed staffer it was, that means that they got access to everything on their phones. I mean, Pegasus records calls as they're happening. It downloads your call logs, any picture messages, WhatsApp, your personal photos on your phone, your personal voice notes, emails, everything. I mean, everything on your phone is suddenly accessible. And your location, which has been a concern for many activists. So it's safe to say if she had anything top secret or classified, if that's what they were after, they would have gotten it.
It seems like a very big deal. I mean, maybe that's stating the obvious, but how big of a deal is it that they were able to get that level of access to her phone?
I mean, she's an elected official and she's the chair of the Security and Defense Committee. And right now that committee, given the geopolitical context that we live in with the war in Ukraine, the conflict in the Middle East, they are deciding or having input into a lot of the EU's defense strategy policies. In 3 weeks or in 2 weeks' time, the EU is going to publish a defense industrial strategy. They would have had an input on that, which means, you know, they would have had input on sending arms to Ukraine, etc. So, of course, they are limited. They don't make the final executive decisions. They contribute to EU policy and they scrutinize it. But given the geopolitical context that we live in, I think it's pretty important and probably quite relevant to whoever wanted to spy on them. Also, I mean, on a personal basis, you don't know the connections that these members of parliament have in their own countries, right?
So that's an interesting point.
In Europe, you have 27 countries and these elected officials come from those 27 countries and they sit in Brussels. So the connections that they have at home with their own parties, some of which are in national government, you know, this could have all been reasons as well. You don't know with who they're talking back home. So it is very concerning and it just goes to show that our democracies aren't really protected.
You've reported that there have been calls for more members to bring their phones in to be checked for spyware. How much concern is there right now in Brussels among Parliament that this breach is more widespread? And when will we know whether that's in fact the case?
So I think there's a lot of concern in Brussels right now. Several people from within the European Parliament, security services have told me there is a lot of concern among the security personnel about how this could have happened. There is concern about the fact that there is at least three officials from the same committee to have been targeted. Three's a crowd, as they say.
Right.
And I think the fact that we're facing, you know, an election in the European-wide election in the next 3 months adds to people's concern, because we are at a critical year for democracy. You have the European elections, but you also have the UK elections, you have the US elections, etc. And so yesterday there was a vote in the European Parliament on whether they should have a debate regarding the spyware scandal that's engulfed the Security and Defence Committee. And out of 328 members of parliament, 288 voted for, 33 against, and 7 abstained. So the clear majority there for this debate to happen. And it goes to show that people are really concerned.
You mentioned this is all coming months before the elections there in the EU. Are you hearing about any major cybersecurity changes ahead of that vote as a result of this?
So there will be some type of guidelines being sent around to MEPs, as far as I understand, sort of cyber hygiene type guidelines. But the European Parliament in itself, I've been covering how terrible their cybersecurity is. And at the end of last year, there was a report that came out saying, essentially, it was an internal report that I got a hand on. It said that the European Parliament cybersecurity is not up to the threat level currently posed, and that it is not in line with industry standards. So not a very good grade from its own IT department. And earlier in February, we also reported that the chief cybersecurity officer of the European Parliament, now he says he asked to retire, but essentially what three people told me is that he was asked to step down given this prior report that said the cybersecurity was such shambles. So the sitting chief cybersecurity officer stepping down a month before the European election is to happen, which is basically unprecedented as far as I heard. Like, you have a security official stepping down before a major event that is definitely going to be a target for cybersecurity attacks.
Doesn't seem like the best timing, that's for sure.
So in general, it's not in the best shape. Now, the way it works in Europe is that every country conducts its own voting. So Slovenians vote in Slovenia, the French vote in France, etc. Now, that means there's 27 different voting authorities that national authorities have oversight over. So, you know, there's going to be variety in how good that oversight is. There's going to be variety in how protected those voting systems are. And when you lay on top of that the obvious disinformation and misinformation that countries like Russia and China and to some extent Iran are also perpetuating, I mean, it's going to be a very interesting election, I think.
You mentioned earlier the software used, at least in part of this hack, Pegasus, which comes from NSO Group. Interestingly, my colleagues here in Washington have reported that NSO Group is banned from targeting U.S. phone numbers. But I wonder how likely this phone hacking scandal is to trigger alarm bells in the U.S. and in other capitals, you know, places that, as you said, also have elections this year.
So I think that it has set off alarm bells. In actuality, I believe my colleagues in the US did cover this scandal that was rocking Europe, as they said, and experts urging US officials and political candidates to get their own devices checked, because it's not in any way, shape or form a European problem, so to speak. This can happen anywhere, and it is probably happening everywhere. I hope that people do wake up to just how widespread this is really now. It's not a case of 10 years ago when these tools first came out. They've had 10 years to mature, and there are hundreds of companies that sell this stuff. Last June, I actually managed to get into a spyware conference, a spyware expo in Prague, and that's when I realized just how big this industry is. So many companies are selling these cyber intrusive tools, let's say. You know, they're not all the same. Some are really good at GPS hacking or geolocation. Some are better at straight up phone tapping, and some do the, you know, the whole service. So it's really, really a wide net, and no one should think that they are immune to it.
Antoinetta, thank you for being here on Politico Tech.
Thank you, Stephen.
That's all for today's Politico Tech. For more tech news, subscribe to our newsletters, Digital Future Daily and Morning Tech. Music in today's episode comes from the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Our managing producer is Annie Reese. Our producer is Afra Abdullah. And our editors are Steve Heuser, Daniela Cheslow, and Louisa Savage. I'm Stephen Overley. See you back here tomorrow.